जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज Jana Ballabha Giri Bharatha
Jai Om Vishnu Pad, Padam Hansa Paribrad, Sri Shimad,
Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swaminaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paribraja Kacharya Shrodhara Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vashadi Guru Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Sham Kunradha Kunigiri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Ki Jai. Gangamayi Ki Jai. Jamanamayi Ki Jai. Kusi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna. If we open a door or window, is it too noisy? Is that what happens? Okay, let's see what happens. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 4, Text 24.
Tesham
Avirapud
Vani
Arupa
Mekha
Nishvana
Sannadayanti
Kakubha
Sadhunam
Abhayankari
Tesham Avirabhudvani
Arupa Mekha Nishvana
Sannadhayanti
Kakubha
Sadhunam
Abhayankari
Tesham
Avirabhudvani
Arupa Mekha Nishvana
Sannadayanti Kakubha
Sadhunam
Abhayankari
Teshama Virabhudvani
Arupa Mekha Nishvana
Sadayanti Kakubha
Sadhunam
Abhayankari
Tesham Avirabhudvani
Arupa Mekha Nishvana
Sannadayanti Kakubha
Sadhunam Abhayankari
Tesham Avirabhudvani
Arupa
Mekha Vishvana
Sannadayanti Kakubha
Sadhunam Abhayankari
Ladies.
Tesham Avira Bhutvani Arupame Hanishvana Sanadayanti Kakubha Sadhunama Payankari Tesham Avira Bhutvani Arupame Hanishvana Sanadayanti Kakubha
Tesham,
Tesham,
in front of all of them.
In front of all of them.
Avirabhut,
Avirabhut,
appeared.
Appeared.
Vani,
Vani,
a voice.
A voice.
Arupa,
Arupa,
without a form.
Without a form.
Meghanishvana,
Meghanishvana,
resounding like the sound of a cloud.
Sounding like the sound of a cloud.
Sanadayanti, causing to vibrate.
Causing to vibrate.
Kakubha,
Kakubha,
all directions.
All directions.
Sadhunam,
Sadhunam,
of the saintly persons.
Of the saintly persons.
Abhayankari,
Abhayankari,
driving away the fearful situation.
Driving away the fearful situation.
Then there appeared before them a transcendental sound vibration emanating from a personality not visible to material eyes. The voice was as grave as the sound of a cloud, and it was very encouraging, driving away all fear. Next verses. Ma bhaishta Vibhuta Shreshta Sarvesham Padramastubaha Madarshanam Hibhutanam Sarvashreyo Papattaye Gyatametasya Dauratmyam Daiteya Pasadasya Yat Tasya Shantim Kardishyami Kalam Tavat Pratikshata. The voice of the Lord vibrated as follows. O best of learned persons, do not fear. I wish all good fortune to you. Become my devotees by hearing and chanting about me and offering me prayers. For these are certainly meant to award benedictions to all living entities. I know all about the activities of Hiranyakashipu and shall surely stop them very soon. Please wait patiently until that time. Purport. Sometimes people are very much eager to see God. In considering the word madarshanam, seeing me, which is mentioned in this verse, one should note that in Bhagavad Gita the Lord says, bhaktya mam avijanati. In other words, the ability to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or to see Him or talk with Him, depends on one's advancement in devotional service, which is called bhakti. In bhakti, there are 9 different activities. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Satyam, Sakyam, Atma, Nivedanam. Because all these devotional activities are absolute, there is no fundamental difference between worshipping the deity in the temple, seeing him and chanting his glories. Indeed, all of these are ways of seeing him, for everything done in devotional service is a means of direct contact with the Lord. The vibration of the Lord's voice appeared in the presence of all the devotees, and although the person vibrating the sound was unseen to them, they were meeting or seeing the Lord because they were offering prayers and because the vibration of the Lord was present.
contrary to the laws of the material world. There's no difference between seeing the Lord, offering prayers, and hearing the transcendental vibration. Pure devotees, therefore, are fully satisfied by glorifying the Lord. Such glorification is called kirtan. Performing kirtan and hearing the vibration of the sound, Hare Krishna, is actually seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. One must realize this position, and then one will be able to understand the absolute nature of the Lord's activities. Om Bhakti Nirantasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Niditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Kutale Swayam Rupa Padamayam Tathati Shapunatikam Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Jatapada Kamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavascha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Shagana Raghunatham Vitam Sansadinam, Sadaitam Savadhutam, Padijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Radhika Sri Vishakam He Krishna Karana Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tata Kamsana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshri Prasadhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vancha Kolpitarubhyascha Kripasindhobhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanimpyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vashari, Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Avirabhut Vani, the sound of the Lord appeared. On the material platform, there's a difference between sound and substance. If you're chanting money, 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 it doesn't mean that you have money. But when you chant Krishna, 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 Krishna's there, present. Abhinnatam Namanam. Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vikra Purna Shuddha Nityamukta Abhinatanam. There's two kinds of chanting. There's mechanical chanting and chanting with realization. Mechanical chanting is just that, it's mechanical. We're told you should chant so many times, it's good for you. It will benefit you. And so we chant, but it's more or less a mechanical procedure. Not a lot of feeling, not a lot of understanding. Just, all right, let me chant. I've been ordered by my spiritual master, or I've been instructed by the devotees. So I'm chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And, of course, even by mechanical chanting, we'll get some
spiritual benefit and spiritual appreciation, spiritual experience. But the perfect devotees experience the presence of Krishna absolutely in transcendental sound. They don't make a distinction that the name is one thing and the person is another. They don't experience the distinction. They feel that by chanting Hare Krishna, I'm getting the association of Krishna. Krishna is present with all of his transcendental potencies in the sound. Because Krishna is on the absolute platform. There's no difference between, for us, there's a difference between the eyes and the ears. We see with the eyes, we hear with the ears. Krishna can see with his ears, he can hear with his eyes, he can taste with his ears, he can do anything with any of his senses. All of his senses are interchangeable because they're all absolutely, unlimitedly powerful. This is the nature of Krishna. There's no difference. Krishna is on the absolute platform. There's no difference between his name, his form, his activities. Everything connected with Krishna is also, in one sense, identical with Krishna. Just as the sunlight is identical with the sunshine, the Krishna's energies are identical with him. But the name Krishna is not a manifestation of Krishna's energies, it's a manifestation of Krishna himself, along with all of his energies. Hare Krishna. Hare addresses the energy of Krishna. And Krishna is the personality of Godhead. Krishna includes his energy, but the energy and the source of energy are separately manifested, just as the sun and sunshine, or the fire along with heat and light. So Krishna is present for the devotee, because there's no difference between Krishna's name and Krishna's form. People typically, can you see God? Can you see God? Can you show me God? They emphasize seeing. But seeing is not the only sense, and it's not, for every purpose, the best sense. If you want to see the wind, can you see? But you can hear the wind, you can feel the wind. Seeing is not possible, nor is it necessary. When you hear the sound of the wind and you feel the touch of the wind, you know the wind is there. Or these great speculators, can you show me God? I want to see God. But seeing is not everything. Can we see your intelligence? Do you have any? We don't see it, but you'd like me to think that you have it. Not everything is seen with the eyes. So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to advise that we see not with the eyes, but with the ears. The ears are more effective for detecting the transcendental reality. The eyes are dull. You put a piece of paper in front of the eyes, you can't see anything. The ears are very powerful. When all the other senses are asleep, the ears are still active. So that's why alarm clocks function by sound. They don't pop up a little flag. Time to get up, time to get up. It's by hearing. Make a big racket and the person gets up. Well, hearing is very powerful. So, Avirabhudvani, the Lord appeared in the form of transcendental sound.
arupa. There was no form seen, but the Lord was there. Mekhanishvana. And the sound was also not weak. Mekhanishvana, like the sound of a rumbling cloud. And the clouds make their sound. It's loud. So the Lord made a substantial sound, sanadayanti kakupa, which was coming from all sides. Usually a sound comes from one side or another side. This sound was coming from all sides. And sadhunam apayankari, it was making the saintly persons free from all fear. Even materially, someone's afraid, and a policeman comes and says, "Don't worry." We feel, all right, now there's someone powerful here. I don't have to be afraid. But Hiranyakashipu is not a small thief. Very powerful demon, so powerful that even Narad Muni was intimidated. So to offer reassurance required the personality of Godhead. And he very strongly encouraged the devotees. No need to worry. Ma Baishta, don't worry, don't fear. Just as Krishna says, Mahashucha, don't worry, just surrender to me and I'll protect you. Very loudly Krishna says, Sarvadharma Pratyajama Mekam Shadamabhati. Ham Tvam Sarvapapa Vyomokshi Shadamabhati. Just surrender to me and I'll protect you. So Krishna can say that because he's all-powerful. He's all-powerful. That's a fact. We're a little powerful. We have tiny power. But by Krishna's power, the moon is shining, the sun is shining, the seasons are changing, the planets are moving. Everything is going on by the unlimited power of Krishna. Time is moving by Krishna's power. Someone says, "I don't believe in God." But time is all-powerful. What's your idea of God? All-powerful? Omnipresent? But time is present everywhere. No one can escape. No, I'll go someplace where there's no time. It's sometimes advertised. You go to such and such beach and there's timeless. But it's not timeless. You spend a week in a hotel spending so much per day. And after the time is up, you have to go back to work. But time is everywhere. Time is everywhere. Even other parts of the universe, time is controlling and all-powerful. Time wears down everything. Time destroys Caesar. Time destroys John F. Kennedy. Time destroys the Roman Empire, the British Empire. American Empire is up for destruction next. Because there's no force more powerful than time. And every one of us has to succumb to time. Time will come as death and say, "Now get out, finished. Your plans, your ideas, your aspirations, your whatever it is, finished, time." We sometimes take an examination and the examiner, the teacher says, "Time's up." You try to scribble maybe another few words. "No, time's up." Finished. So death comes. Time's up. Can't extend. We think we can extend. We'll call the doctor. We'll extend. But even the doctor can't extend his own life. When death comes, finished. So it seems someone can extend his life because time is giving him a little concession.
But finally, when time's up, gone. So time is all powerful. Therefore, no one can deny the presence of God. Either you accept God as the personality of Godhead, or impersonally, God is present as time. Either way, one has to surrender. Prabhupada said, if you don't surrender, we surrender to Krishna by bowing down. If you don't like to surrender that way, still, the time of death, everyone's forced to lie flat. So we have our choice of which way to surrender, voluntarily or involuntarily. So the Lord, Sarvesham Padram Astuva, the Lord reassured them and gave his blessing. May there be good fortune for you in all respect. Mad darshanam hibhutanam sarvashreyo papattaye. Seeing me is fortunate for everyone. And seeing me, seeing Krishna, doesn't mean just seeing. Hearing is as good as seeing Krishna. Or serving is as good as seeing Krishna. The saintly persons were offering prayers. Krishna was present in that service of praying. Someone's thinking of Krishna. Krishna is present in that service of thinking of him. Someone's cleaning the temple for Krishna. Krishna is present in the form of his service. Because devotional service is absolute, there's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's service. So Krishna is present where the devotees are serving him, where they're hearing, where they're chanting, where they're thinking of him, where they're rendering active service. Krishna is present. He's factually present. And the advanced devotee sees Krishna in the process of devotional service. He experiences the presence of Krishna by performing devotional service. The advanced devotee serves Krishna and experiences, yes, Krishna is present. I'm feeling the presence of Krishna because I'm chanting his holy name. I'm hearing the topics of Krishna. Or I'm serving the deity, or I'm serving the devotees. So he's feeling the presence of Krishna. Tasya shantim kurishyami kalam tavat pratikshata. The Lord said that you don't have to worry, I'll bring a peaceful situation. But kalam tavat pratikshita, you just have to wait. Everything has its time. Everything has its time. Just a girl gets pregnant. It's not that the next morning she has a child. It takes some months. Another child will come. You plant a seed in the ground. And after some time, the plant will grow. Everything has its time. It's time for creation. It's time for being destroyed. There's a time for everything. So the Lord already has a plan. This demon is going to be killed. It's just a question of time. It's just a question of time. And just wait. Don't worry. You can be confident. This demon is meant for being killed. Just be patient. And it will happen. And in the process of devotional service also, Srila Rupa Goswami recommends that one has to be patient. Enthusiastically perform devotional service with confidence and determination. And with patience also. And in due time, one will realize the presence of Krishna. Gradually. By the gradual cleansing process, the more the heart becomes cleansed, the more one realizes Krishna's presence in the holy name. And the more one realizes the presence of Krishna in the holy name, the more
someone like Narada Muni. You said Narada Muni was intimidated by Hiranyakashipu. Was this part of the Leela, or was this a
Leela? Yes, that's Krishna's Leela. That even Narada Muni felt intimidated.
I think Krishna says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that this worship of my majesty doesn't really attract you. It's more in reverence. But yet he's saying, offer your prayers. We understand that the prayers are a service, but in his Vrindavan Leela, he's not so much attracted when Brahma offered so much prayers. Krishna wasn't standing there. So connecting devotional life proper with this praying, does it get to a point where the ecstatic emotion is simply a flow of natural energy, or is there continuously the prayerful mood of this is God?
The devotee, just like Kunti, she's offering prayers to Krishna. It's not mechanical, it's not ritualistic. Out of deep feeling, she's praying to Krishna. Akura, he's in Vrindavan. And he's offering prayers to Krishna. Arjuna, when he sees the universal form, he's offering prayers to Krishna. Many devotees offer their prayers to Krishna. It's not that, oh, prayers, but it's one of the nine items of devotional service, fundamental, to glorify the Lord with suitable prayers. But the we see, just like Kunti, she's offering prayers not as a matter of ritualistic formality, but out of deep feeling for the Lord. Of course, she's not among the Vrindavan devotees, so she's a little conscious that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he's appearing as my nephew. That's his pastime, but actually he's the Supreme Lord, she knew. So she's offering prayers in that way. At the same time, she's in the mood of Krishna's aunt. So that loving feeling is there at the same time. So even though Krishna may say in Chaitanya Charitamrita so many prayers, because generally people are offering prayers, oh Lord, you're so great, oh Lord, you're the Alpha Omega, oh Lord, give me whatever it is that I want. Send me bread, send me money, send me a wife, send me a diploma, send me a job, send me this, send me that, oh Lord, grant me this, grant me that. So that's not so attractive to Krishna. The role of cosmic order supplier is not his favorite. He prefers when the devotee approaches him in love. Kunti Devi is not praying, oh Lord, I could use a little more money, I could use a little... No. Please cut off my material attachments so that my love can flow toward you just like the waters of the Ganga. That kind of prayer. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying to the Lord. He's the emblem of ecstatic devotional service. But he's praying. Ayi nanda tanu jakin karam patitam ma vishame bhavam yuva kripaya hata lupam tanka stiti duli sadrisham vichintaya dajanam dajanam asandhivin. I don't want money, I don't want a beautiful life, I don't want power. I just want to serve you. And that kind of prayer is accepted. That kind of prayer is not to be dismissed. That's offered in pure love for Krishna.
How to relate to the offering when the demigods are praying in Bhagavatam? We have the prayers, you know, you are the great one. You are the source of everything, etc. And sometimes one may develop a little feeling, oh, you know, okay, all right. How can you develop a better relationship?
Yeah, well, we feel, all right. Yeah. Let's get on with the storyline. That's our lack of appreciation. We'll hear the minutest details of the materialist, you know, who such and such's latest boyfriend is, how they met, down to the smallest detail, what he gave her for her birthday and what she said, and all of that. We'll listen with great interest. Thousands and millions of magazines will be sold full of gossip, of the most minute material details. Or in physical, in science, you'll read about the most minute reactions of particles or chemicals or what have you. Or in academia, we'll be, the audience will listen with rapt attention to some discussion about the glottal stops in some Argentine dialect. But then when it comes to hearing about the glories of Krishna, all right, let's get on the storyline. But the realized souls said, Vayam tu na vitripyama uttama shloka de prune yat shrinvatam rasagyanam svadu svadu padeva. We never get tired of hearing this. They relish. It's not that the pure devotees are, all right, let's get on to the Vrindavan part. Pariksit Maharaj names it. Okay, all right. Enough about Dwarka, enough about Mathura, enough about Pariksit Maharaj. Let's get to the good stuff. Then he's relishing every drop. As soon as Krishna is there, the sages say, please tell us, what is this about Kali and how he was punished by Pariksit Maharaj? Please tell us about this, if it has a connection with Krishna. As soon as there's a connection with Krishna, they're interested. If there's no connection with Krishna, get out of here. We don't want to hear these topics. It's just mundane noise. But as soon as there's a Krishna connection, they're very interested to hear. These prayers by the demigods, prayers by Arjuna, they're enlightening. It's not that we now, I understood. No, we haven't understood. If we actually understood, we'd be free from all material interest, all material desires, material aspirations, material something. But we're not. Material attraction is there, and our mind is with it. And the absolute truth is there, and we're, that's the sign that we're not in our healthy condition. And the soul is in its perfectly healthy condition. Loves to hear about Krishna. And when we're in the materialistic condition, we love to hear about Maya. That which has no meaning, no substantial existence. The gossip column. What does it mean? What is it, the value of it? The people are very captivated. The pure devotees are equally captivated by the glories of Krishna.
I don't know if you only can listen, but in the Bhagavad Gita Mahatmya, there are mentioned the four types of yuras. The camel, if I'm not mistaken, the camel, and the analogy of the four different types.
I'm not familiar with it.
No.
Yeah, that's a different kind.
That's a different kind. There's a very finite description of the four distinct types of years and the swan, and etc. And basically, I'm getting the point of the quality of hearing. How to develop for ourselves.
By hearing.
From the right source.
The right source and the right company. We hear in the association of devotees, the subject matters. Potency is revealed or discovered or available.
my last question, Maharaj. You were mentioning about time, and I was just reflecting.
Just to give you an example, in my senior year of high school, I think, or you know, it was before that, so 1 year of high school, we had a Latin teacher, an elderly lady, and just loved Latin. She could illustrate anything, explain everything, she had a story for everything. She was just in love with the Latin language. So it made the subject so interesting, otherwise Latin. But because the teacher had such a taste for it, when you entered that class, you felt like, well, I'd love to learn Latin. Then the next year she retired, and the lady who replaced her didn't have the same taste. So it was tedious, sitting and what is this? And how do I get out of here? How did I sign up for this? So if we hear in the association of the materialists about Krishna, it won't have very much potency. It'll be some dry academic study or some speculative thing or at best. But when we hear in the company of those who love Krishna, those who have a taste for Krishna topics, then the nectar will be apparent. The taste becomes apparent. The presence of Krishna becomes manifest in the association of devotees. Something else?
Well, we hear this pastime where somebody came to Bhaktisiddhanta, Saraswati Thakur, and done some service for him, and he got some realization from that. At the same time, we hear that devotional service, real devotional service, is when you're in the mode of goodness and you're doing it with the intention of pleasing Krishna. Actually, he said that Krishna is present in his devotional service. So I'm just wondering, at what point does service become devotional?
From the very beginning, there's something. Even if it's mixed with material motives, still he's approached Krishna. Still he's approached Krishna. It becomes devotional service when it's favorable. Even sometimes when it's unfavorable, it's counted. Putana Rakshasi wanted to kill Krishna. But Krishna took the good part that, well, she acted like my mother. So even then, Krishna is so kind. And even the slightest devotional service, or even the slightest service, Krishna takes the good side. So, otherwise it's more or less hopeless that we have to purify our hearts and become some sort of sterling spiritualist, and then we can start serving. But from the very beginning, we can start to render service. That's called practice. Just like a music student or any kind of student. In the beginning, it's practice. A sport in sports. In the beginning, it's practice. You don't start off in the all-star team. But you practice in the beginning. You've got a little instruction, you have some interest, you practice. And if you practice and stick with it, you get proper guidance, you become good. Then your playing becomes more effective, more exciting.
If you're doing it with a mundane mentality,
then it'll be slow. Our mundane mentality will hold us back. Therefore, we're advised to give up our mundane mentality, to serve in a spirit of devotion, in a spirit of trying to please Krishna, and not the spirit of trying to please ourselves. The more we try to please Krishna by our service, the more effective it will be. And the more we're trying to satisfy our own selves, the less effective. The secret is that by satisfying Krishna, we'll also be satisfied. We don't have to separately worry about our own satisfaction. When Krishna is satisfied, Everyone will be satisfied. We'll all see these things. And Prahlad gives the example, you decorate your face, you don't have to separately decorate your face in the mirror, that one will also be decorated automatically. Topic is
women
in leadership.
How do we present Krishna consciousness?
How to present Krishna consciousness, women in leadership? Let a woman do it. That'll be practical. You want to show leadership, you know, some man talking about women leading, let a woman do it. Example, you talk about women and how they should have an important role and they should lead and so on. But meanwhile, the women are all in the background and they don't say anything because that's all to say. Don't let the women speak. How's that? Yes? Sorry?
With regards to time?
No, don't start all again, just when you die. The part I'm soft and I couldn't hear you. It's like the last, the end.
Do we endeavor to make our situation favorable for devotional service, or do we just perform devotional service?
You endeavor. Devotional service doesn't mean you just sort of get carried along, it means there's endeavor. It's not that, well, everything is already fixed, so I might as well do nothing. We have to endeavor also. No one can figure out exactly how everything works. Krishna's got some plan. But if our plan is that I'll just coast, then you can, then you're creating your destiny. We create our destiny by our activities. Or if your program is, oh, I'll just sort of do nothing because the outcome is already determined. That's good for material life. There's no need to endeavor very hard for material advancement because everything is settled. The rich man is destined to become rich. Whether he works or not, money will chase him. Poor man is destined to be poor. Materially, things are like that. But on the spiritual platform, things go beyond just the workings of the material laws. Something else?
Srila Madhavendra Purit did not endeavor. He just, Krishna came and gave him more cup of his love in the connection. But we see in this verse the demigods are endeavoring. Krishna, you come.
Madhavendra Purit also endeavored. For his own necessities, he didn't endeavor at all. He wouldn't even ask for food if you were hungry. Just, if food's going to come, it's going to come. Why endeavor? But for the service of the Lord, he traveled all the way from Vrindavan to Puri. That means on foot through the jungles with the dacoits and the snakes and the tigers and everything else, and carrying valuable stuff also. You know, think twice about carrying something valuable one from one side of Johannesburg to the other. And he's traveling from Vrindavan to Puri. The same person who wouldn't even ask for a little food for his own satisfaction was walking halfway across the country to satisfy Krishna and to render some service to Krishna. So it's not that there's no endeavor, but no material endeavor.
And my question was related, he didn't have to bother, everything was already granted. So many things were granted to him, Krishna came and gave him milk, whereas the demigods are asking for...
Because they're mixed, the demigods are mixed devotees. So they don't always approach Krishna and say, oh Krishna, let us serve you. Oh Krishna, we're in trouble with the demons. Oh Krishna, we want to create something. Oh Krishna, help us run the universe. Oh Krishna, now there's a mess again. Oh Krishna. So they're approaching Krishna for some material benefit, material purpose, mixed with the spirit of devotion and service. The demigods are not counted among the pure devotees because they have some material desires to be fulfilled. But still they're counted as devotees. The demigods are far beyond us. Okay?
So they're counted as devotees, but yet it is stated that the worship of the demigods is ghastly. The word used in the Bible?
No, worship of the demigods may be ghastly, but not the demigods' worship. When we worship the demigods, it's ghastly. When the demigods worship Krishna, it's not ghastly. Lord Shiva is worshiping Krishna in pure devotional service. And the materialists are worshiping Lord Shiva by cutting flesh off their body or putting hooks into themselves or doing other ghastly activities. But it doesn't mean that because their worship is ghastly, the worship performed by the demigods is ghastly. No, demigods are advanced devotees.
Why are the demigods praying to take birth as human beings?
Because on the demigod planets, there's, first of all, too much sense gratification. The heavenly planets are full of all sorts of advanced distractions. And in the heavenly planets, the program is enjoyment. They go, they enjoy, and they're using up their punya, their pious credit. And then punya kshine marchalo condition. When the credit is used up, they fall back down. So the earth is actually a more suitable place. Just like for a serious person, you go to something like Disneyland or some resort, and it's, I think Cape Town people come here for enjoyment. So it's not a very suitable place. Disneyland is not the place for like serious study. If you're a student, you go there to have a good time. And then you go back to your studies. It's not a serious place. So the heavenly planets have that aspect, that they're places of enjoyment. So the earth is actually better for devotional service. And there's sufficient misery in the earth to keep us on our toes. Yes? Is it normal for the demigods to go back to Godhead? Generally, the demigods fall back down to earth because they're not perfect.
So that's actually the special quality of the human. That's the special quality that the human has. They have the option of going back to
Godhead. Demigods have the option, but there's a lot of impediments for the demigods. There are a lot of impediments here also, but the earth is considered most suitable. anything else. Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Krishna. Shine punye martyu loka vishanti. Mm-hmm.